Good evening, everyone. My name is Paisley Zhang, and I'm from Manulife. On behalf of Pract, I am very proud and very honored to be introducing to you the speaker of tonight, Mr. Fernando Moreira, who will be talking to us about building a successful business in China. And this is from his personal experience, because he was the CEO of Ping An Direct in China, where he was responsible for its exponential growth there. So he'll talk about all that a bit later, but before that, I'd like to just talk to you a little bit about his very impressive work experience and accomplishments so far. So Fernando Moreira is a business leader that is passionate about helping organizations create and execute innovative growth strategies that generate true value for customers and shareholders. And he does that through the power of digital technologies and high-performing customer-centric teams. Fernando is the Senior Vice President of Global Insurance at Scotiabank, where he is responsible for setting the strategic direction for global insurance at Scotiabank, defining the plan to increase market share and driving revenue growth across Scotiabank's global footprint, and further developing the bank insurance model through partnerships with insurance companies. And prior to Scotiabank, Fernando worked for QBE as the COO of Emerging Markets. He had the mission to bring its growth strategy to life through the design and implementation of an integrated business model, using the power of digital innovation to enable QBE to double its size and radically improve its profitability. And prior to QBE, Fernando was a CEO at Ping An Direct in China, where he helped grow the business from 9 million to 6 million customers. 16 million customers. We'll say 9 million to 16 million customers.
Correction.
Scratch that. And he also increased the profitability by 80%, 80, from employing a customer-centric, high-performing team. So he was also the CEO of Cigna in China and the CEO of HSBC in Brazil. Fernando was responsible for putting in place all the HSBC global insurance operational centers, including many in Asia, to serve customers in 35 different countries. Fernando holds a degree in mechanical engineering. He is a master black belt and lean certified. He had participated in specialization, strategy, and senior leadership programs at Harvard Business School, INSEAD, London Business School, the list goes on. And there are many more examples of Fernando's very impressive accomplishments in his CV, but I'll stop here because I'm sure that you're all dying to hear from the man himself. So let's welcome to the stage the speaker of the night, Mr. Fernando Moreira.
Well, first of all, thank you. Okay, humbled by your words. Okay, let's start. Niu Shimen, Xian Shimen, Wang Sheng Hao. Okay. Nango Zai Zili, Xian Ning Shang Xian, Wu Gan Dao, Fei Cheng Rong Xin. Okay. Wu Shi Wan Woman Zai, Yi Qi, Duo Guo, Yi Ga, Ming Hao Da Ye Wan. Perfect. Woman Sui Si Sui Di, Ti Chu Wen Ti. 我会用英语介绍，我的中文不好，OK。 让我们找点例子，OK。 That's one of the reasons I love to be here. I said I'm gonna have the opportunity to try my bad Chinese again, OK. And one of the things I hope to be on this, OK. One of the things I would like to talk to you about. It's not talking about like. Actuarial science only, that I love. See, I'm not telling this because you are actuaries. I have two of my team there, all actuaries. But do you know why actuarial science is important in the business? Because I use actuarial science to grow my business forever. Okay, but do you know why? I'll start with that question first. Don't expect me a traditional presentation, sorry. Any idea why? Or you just produce reports? The regulatory reports. Why actuarial science is critical in running a business like the insurance business? Yes, risk management is a good part, it's critical. I'll say it's all about innovation, it's all about growth, it's all about intelligent growth, and it's all about solving four critical problems that we're going to talk about, because those four critical problems helps you to grow business in China, helped me, okay? In China, I went there two times, first time from 2003 to 2008, basically helping, at that time, first Ping An to redesign their business model. I was part of the team with Peter Ma and the management team there, and also with a group of people from McKinsey. We had lots of fun to redesign the business model. It makes today Ping An the most valuable insurance globally. If you research, it's the brand with the highest value. And I'm going to explain why they're there, okay? And one of the things that we look at was how to reinvent the way we serve customers. And actuarial science is all about that. And I'm going to prove you at the end why is that. My actuarial team is here. I said, and guys, it's not about reports when I joined. It's about price intelligence, portfolio intelligence, and capital, how we allocate capital. Then, guess what? That's the fun part of being an actuary. You understand this very well. Okay? The not that fun part of being an actuary is the people does not understand your language. Okay? They do not understand the math. Then the good thing from many people that works with me, I love math. I'm a scientist by heart, hard to work with, but I love to solve these following four problems. The first one, and this applies to China, but also applies here. In China, if you're going to talk about business as usual growth, you're going to miss the point or the opportunity. It's all about exponential growth. And do you know why it's about exponential growth? There's one thing that applies to China and India in many countries in Asia, it's called demographic factor. How many people live in China? More than 1 billion, okay? Then if you're not thinking about growing exponentially, you're missing the opportunity. Then you're gonna ask, over why this applies to Canada? It's 30 million people, right, more or less? How many people in Canada? 36 million applies also here. Because the science of exponential growth, it is about understanding the people you're gonna serve. And that's a major question. Understanding what about the people? And how do I apply actuarial science or analytics to that? You all know, I heard a lot about analytics, it's math, people, it's still being math, okay? Why? What we have to learn about the people we serve. My gosh, you. What they want, who they are, how they live, how they think about their future, okay? Then the first thing, like if you're going to grow exponentially, it's because you're gonna offer a solution to people that needs that solution. And you have to create a communication, engagement process with them. And the first problem to solve is, don't be shy thinking about exponential growth, not about BAU growth. And solving this problem is about understanding the people, it's about understanding the market, it's about understanding the competition, and then it's about designing solutions that is made for your customers. Can a life product be different? Can a motor product be different? Yes or no? Yes.
Many people say it's a commodity. I said, yes, it is, if you think it's a commodity. Okay, it's all in your mind, and it's all in the way you're going to communicate to your customers. I'll give some examples. Okay, one time in China, I'm sitting on my room, on my office there, enters a young guy saying, hey, Fernando, I have an idea for Chinese New Year. What is the idea? And we had this open door, there's no like hierarchy, anything there. He comes there and says, the idea is I'm going to launch a digital red pocket through WeChat. Everybody that's Chinese here understand WeChat, right? Probably you all have a WeChat account. WeChat is the WhatsApp in China, much better, I can tell you, because WeChat is WhatsApp, Facebook, research, pay accounts, and you can invest money all in one platform, okay? He comes and says, we're going to do this, and we're going to package, we're going to offer then a red pack, okay? We offer a red pack, 10 yuan. 10 yuan is more or less at that time, $1.3 more or less, okay, I believe. 10 yuan, okay, then we're giving this. What are we going to get in return? I get their phone number, their email, and right after I make an offer of a differentiated digital motor solution through an ecosystem, okay? And how many sales are they going to make? Well, Fernando, we're mentioning to sell between 50,000 and 100,000 new policies during the Chinese New Year. Motor policies of around $1,000. Then I asked, how much money do you need? He said, $250,000. No brainer, do it. Okay, and he did it. Okay, not him, he's a team, he was representing a team. We had a rule of one page business case. He goes and do it. Guess, since he made a market research about the behavior. People like red pocket during Chinese New Year. Nobody ever did until that time. It was the first time he was done digitally, okay? And he knew that we had a very compelling proposition for motor insurance. He connected the dots. I need more leads. I'm gonna get the names of people. Results, 250,000 policies being sold in 3 weeks. Multiply by $1,000, and when I look at my 250,000 investment, exponential growth is there. Then every time that you're gonna see we apply those kind of costs, we solve the problem. The second problem that I want you to have in mind is this customer satisfaction versus customer engagement. What's the difference? One is continuous. I'll say, customer satisfaction is always after the fact. You try to discover if the customer is happy with you after doing something. Customer engagement is before the fact, during the fact, and after the fact. We are there dedicated to serve the customer throughout the experience with the customer. It's a different mindset. You design solutions, and you design products, and you design experiences to make sure the customer will be enlightened with everything you're doing. Okay, it's like here. Is the food in this restaurant great? Oh, sorry. No answer that. Okay, but when you go to a place where the food is great, what's happened? You go back, but it's not only because the food is great. It's because the entire experience is different. Then I normally say, if you want to have growth, that applies to China. We do this very well. For example, Ping An, we had like everything was about customer engagement. Then first was about exponential growth. Second was about engage the customer. Peter Ma, the CEO and chairman of Ping An, would have like every 2 months, he would invite all the CEOs, 22, he had 22 business units, for a meeting on Saturday, a branch meeting with him that would start around 8:30 a.m., finish around 12, 30 with lunch, okay? And you have to answer one question. How are you gonna find a new profit pocket by engaging customers in a different way that would disrupt your business? Not only engaging customers, and everybody, all the CEOs, if they're not to have an answer for that question, could be a dumb answer, okay, but you have to have an answer. What is your answer for this question, this this man, oh, this is my answer. Okay, could be that you'd say, you'd select three. You would always select three. Okay, those three you're going to invest. Like, we would start new things and kill new things like in the same way we would start. No fear to make mistakes. Okay, then that was, again, looking at customer engagement. Why customer engagement is important? Because customer, when he's engaged, he keeps coming back. Your revenue keeps growing. Okay, that's the second problem. The third problem to be solved. Who like price strategy? I love price strategy. But do you know why? Because it needs to be associated with value strategy. Then you cannot think about price, thinking about, okay, my cost plus margin equal price. You know, like traditional way to think about price? I have to have a profit, my shareholder needs to have a profit, then I take cost, okay? Profit margin equal price. Okay, insurance would say, okay, my claims cost, my administrative cost, my expected underwriting result or whatever, this is my premium, more or less like that. Actuaries, please help me. Am I doing any mistake on this, please? Okay, there's more or less like that. What is the problem in that equation? What is the missing point of view in when we look at from that point of view? You're not asking if the customer would pay that price. That's the question. Do I see other customers have value to pay your price? And how your price compared to your competition price is first question. The second question is how the value you're creating compared to the value your competition is creating. Do you know how people decide to buy? It's the difference between value and price compared to the difference value and price of your competition. The one that has a biggest value against the biggest value price difference wins the war in the market. If the customer has the ability to pay. If he doesn't have the ability to pay your price, even if there is value, means he's not in your target market. Okay, just for you to understand. Then price versus value is the third problem to be solved. Then first, like, understand your market, exponential growth. Second, you go engage the customer. Third, like, make sure you understand the value that we're gonna help you sell to your customers. Fourth problem. I love this one. Okay. You can manage risk two ways. One is reactive. Okay, you identify a risk, you do something about it. One is proactive risk management. Proactive means you anticipate the risks. You create scenarios that you imagine what kind of risk you could be. You measure what's happening in your organization to understand what are the key risk indicators that helps you to understand what's going on in your business. To make sure then you create, as when you create new solutions, when you are going for exponential growth, because when you're going for exponential growth, you know what's happening with the risk? Can be also exponential if you're not proactively measuring risk. Okay? Then you can break a company if you go for exponential growth strategy without thinking about risk. You have to be, how do I say, it's the base of the base of good management sense, it's managing risk. Then those are the four problems that I would say in my experience in China. I worked with HSBC there, I work with Signa CMC, and I work with Ping An. Okay? Both of them has those four disciplines in there. Okay? And the difference, I would say, which ones were more successful was the ones that were able to harmonize the four. For example, HSBC was fanatic for risk management. Okay, fanatic for risk management. What is great, but if you don't look at how to grow your business, it's difficult. Okay, if you look at Cigna was fanatic for innovating in the market, creating new growth opportunities, had problems managing the relationship with the partner in there. I was much more like an ambassador than a CEO most of the time, trying to solve the problem between the American partner and the Chinese one. Okay, But they had like the view of understanding the risk in the market was not there. PM, they were very good on the four aspects. And if you look, I'm going to talk about the PM case, you're going to see how they grow their business.
Okay. Then,
another thing you have to think about when you're growing in market applies to China, but applies also in any market. It's about really how to disrupt in the market. And you have to understand what are the building blocks of disruption. And there's lots of things going on, but you see what is in the center to disrupt the market? Empowered customers. Then what's happening, everything that happens on the last 15 years, it's helping customers to be, let's say, in control of the relationship. Customer knows, like, just a second, where is that? See it. Who does not have one of those? Anybody here? Who does have two or three of those? I have three. Okay, it's a reality, okay? And besides that, you have iPads, you have TVs, there are smart TVs. Everything is becoming smart, correct? Then when everything becomes smart, who is smarter? Your customer. You're gonna say, is the company then needs to become much smarter? Yes. Then everything we have here, big data, fishing tech, data analytics, cognitive computing, cloud, smart cars, things, apps, all of these, like you can read in the papers every single day. If you are not going deep and understand those technologies, how those technologies impact your business model, you're not going to be in business. If your business is not thinking about how to integrate those things to empower your customers, you're not going to be there. Okay. At Scotiabank, for example, right now, we're working through a totally transformation, not only the insurance company, but also the bank, to use this to empower customers. Okay, we want to do that because the only way we're gonna be able to continue to operate and serve our customers, because customers are now in control. They can switch you off from this machine. You can open an account or close an account with few clicks. And few times it's gonna be, Siri, eliminate this account, please, and tell them I really love them, but sorry. And it's gonna be like that. Okay? Because you're gonna see, this one, yeah, no, not anymore. Okay? It's gonna happen. Okay? And then this is happening as we speak, and we have to be prepared for how we disrupt business. I was describing our weekend meetings at Pinyan's, like Saturday meetings every 2 months, was all about disruption. Okay? Like, and when we're talking about disruption, we do not talking about only business models. We're talking about creating ecosystems. Because everybody now is in an ecosystem. Like, we always were in an ecosystem, we're just saying now, digital makes the ecosystem tangible. Then how you create a tangible ecosystem for your customers? Again, it starts, do you know who they are? Are you creating innovative solutions? Do we have the proper value? Okay. Are you basically controlling the risk as you provide the services to them? Because if you do that, your growth is going to be amazing. Okay. Bring this into context of the solution then. There is a strategic dilemma that you have to have in mind when you're building, like, and this again, like, this model, it's a model that today, hello, you're welcome, okay. It's a model, food is going to be almost served, don't worry about it. I almost done, okay. Then we have to reflect, like, first, like, we have a tremendous footprint. We are the Bank of America, okay. We have based, like, here in Canada, we are in the Central America, in the Caribbean, and in Latin America. But the dilemma is, okay, how are we gonna conquer that market? Then it's about integrated analytics and digital ecosystem. It's also about how we understand our customers, how we work for our customers, and create an ecosystem is able to serve those customers with different solutions in each one of the markets. That's what we are working to do it. And by doing that, we want to double the size of the business. Our business right now is considerably good, okay? I cannot tell numbers here because he said it's gonna present in your site, right? Then we cannot talk about numbers. I'm forbidden to talk about them. But the number is good, it's gonna be bigger, okay? And the idea is to double. Just for you to have an idea, we serve in those markets, okay, around 16 million customers altogether. Okay, this is a credit insurance business where we have a good representation with a non-credit operation. Non-credit means all the other PNC life solutions that we provide to customers, okay? And basically the penetration is less than 10% and the cross-sell is 1. Do you know how much this number was in 2008 to 2009 in Brazil? Okay, or how much this number was in China 2013, okay, was around 2.5 to 3 cross-sell, penetration 25%. And if I compare to this, my old benchmarks, then from 1 to 2.5, from 10% to 25% penetration, what's happened with the size of my business? Multiplied by how much? Let's see who lost math now. Who is going to be the first to find a number? It is like you're going to multiply by more than 5 times. That's the reality. Okay? And if you compound this with the value or prices that increase your price on a rate of 10% a year, increase your value like in your premium per customer at 10% a year, okay? You can say you're gonna make more than 6 times. Then I always tell to my team, double is not that big. Okay? For sure, like it's very tough. Like doubling the size of a business, it's not easy. In my life I went through that experience 3 times. That's gonna be my 3rd time. Successfully 3 times, 1 trial. I was not that successful. I can talk about the non-successful part of this story because it was not fun, but happened. Okay? And that's basically for us to understand the way we're looking at the digital ecosystem. PN case. Why PN is the company is PN? First, do you see they call themselves an insurance-powered business transformation? First thing, they consider themselves a technology company today. They're talking about being a technology company since 2003, 2004. That was the first time we're talking about that. I was part of the team designing the business model. And we said, what are we going to be? And Peter said, we're going to be a technology company. That was the view. We should be using technology for that. And they say, okay, this is based on the technologies that's helping right now, okay, PN to be what they are. Okay, you're going to see some of the numbers, 2017 numbers. Okay, but I can update with 2018 when I had a new business report from them. But like, it's about like big data, artificial intelligence, cloud computer, blockchain, security. Okay, they have 20,000 people in research and development, and more than 3,000 patents. This is for them part of their KPIs. How many patents they have? You think the conversation with CEOs about how you're going to disrupt your market, it was something that was not particularly in the entire organization? Was. It's part of the culture, okay? Anybody here ever work at PN besides myself? Any other PN guy here? No yet? I'd love to meet some of them now. Just look at, by doing this, what's happened with their earnings per share, embedded value, total assets. Tell me, like, if your boss asked for a 27% growth, okay, over this period of time, consistently in earnings or embedded value or total assets, is that an easy thing to do? Many people would say, not at all. People would say, only in China. I'll say the China factor is a factor, for sure. Okay, there are a few markets that can grow in that region, but the fact is, most of the older companies don't grow at that rate. If you look at PICC, China Life, all the other ones don't grow at that rate. We had a saying there, we say we must be the outliers. And we design like that. We design our processes, our business to be an outlier. What means if the average of the market is here, we design to be 3 times, 2 times, 4 times, 5 times better than the market benchmark in each one of the key KPIs we use. We're going to be 3 times better. We're going to be 5 times better. That was the way. Now I say, oh, let's be 10% better. No, 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 no. 3 times better. It was relentless. It was a mindset, and is a mindset. Then in China, I would say, want to win. In Asia, want to win. The mindset for applies in any market, though, okay, not only this market. And this, you see what's happening with the numbers. And one thing like, you know, like when we look at our KPIs, from 2007, since 2007, daily, we have like dashboards, okay? And from 2013, more or less, real time. Like I'll click my machine, I'll see like, oh, sales increasing. Oh, sales decreasing. We could see like your KPIs on real time if you want. It's there. And why you need that intelligence? To decide. You ever try to play basketball without a scoreboard? Let's say, like, it's happening all the time, okay? If you're not seeing, like, what's happening, looking at the statistics, the KPIs in real time, you're missing the point of competing. How do you know if you're winning or losing if you don't know how many baskets being made by your team and by your opponent? It's impossible. It's the same in business. You have to know in real time. And if you know in real time, you take faster, better decisions because you can anticipate trends. I'm fanatic for real time. My team knows I have a dream. I always say, okay, we have to go now to weekly and then daily, one day real time. You know, we're talking about this many times and I know people think I'm crazy and I commonly say, yes, I am. I want real time. Okay, it takes time to be there, but we have to do it. Some other numbers just for you to know, okay? This is like, if you look at the way we look at profitability, okay, in there, you see the part customers there? What's happened with the customer? Net profit retail business, then retail customers in need, and how much is going to customers. You see, like, it's controlled on a daily basis. How much new customers we have, what's the retention of our customers, how we are basically making sure they're engaged, and the customer base is growing. And it's not about controlling how many policies are growing. It's like, people, this is okay, it's important, but it's not critical as it is to understand who are the people you are serving, and if this number is increasing or not. That's the number to be managed. And for sure, then we start to look at what is your cross-sell level? How many products per customers you do have? But first, like, understand the people and how you're serving them, if this base is growing or not. Here is some examples, okay, of base, like using, like, for example, we use artificial intelligence for to doing team management to allocate the right customers to the right agents. And the right agents would have like iPads or computers with the, okay, this is the offer to be made to the following customer, okay? And that's like not only say, hey agent, this is your customer, also like this customer has the following profile, okay? And this would be done on a daily basis, okay? Then it's not like managing campaigns on a quarterly basis, we look at campaigns on a very, very strong, hey, what's happening with our campaigns right now? How the agents are progressing. We could drill down from the country to a region to a branch to a person. Okay, like it, bling, 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 bling. Okay, let's look. Oh, there is red here. Why is that? Oh, those are the number of people that's not being able to work with the customer. Why? What's happening? What kind of information we're not giving to them? What kind of stuff we're not helping them to have? That was part of the conversation. Another one was basically like also providing like a investigation using AI for doing fast investigations to speed the process of paying claims to customers. Okay, then was okay, how we use, okay, how we understand for all the facts related to that event of claims to be able to accelerate the payments to customers. It's again the use of technology. Just showing some examples on helping to sell or help to serve, create differentiation for customers. This idea was developed by one engineer that was hired from Alibaba to work as the CEO of the health insurance in China back in 2014. They called Good Doctor, okay? And when this person came from the first thing he said, okay, we don't need underwriters, we need engineers. It was quite interesting, his comment, okay? We don't need underwriters, we need engineers. Okay, and we need underwriters that think engineers, and engineers that think as underwriters. And not about that underwriting was wrong, it's about the mentality of creating solutions that will be adequate to the problem in China. What was the problem in China? If anybody's in China, how is the health system in China? Easy to access good doctors? Anybody living in China here? Who lives in China, please? Nobody? One, is easy to access good doctors there? Are you? Not easy. That's why good doctor. If you are in that ecosystem, you can access good doctors. Okay? Because what they did was a disruption where they put all the doctors that only work on the public hospitals as part of this network. And they could make additional money by serving customers directly or through digital channels, okay, providing consultations and services to those customers. Okay, the impressive numbers is based like this went from not existing, okay, and today 193 million registered users. 2014, zero. Now 193 million registered users. There is not more a traditional health insurance program. It is an ecosystem to provide health solutions to a network of doctors to the people that needs that. Just for you guys to just like a, make a research about this because it's a very interesting. They have like priority clinics, hospitals, all in the network, and it's all interconnected through an app. Okay, then when you register yourself, use the app to find your doctor. Another thing about technology, okay? Ping An became the cloud for all the banks in China, at least for the major, smaller banks. By using technology now, they provide services like they are the, how do I say, the Amazon cloud for the banks in China. It's okay, we need to develop a cloud solution. Well, it's too expensive to have a cloud solution only for us. But they don't want to depend, okay, I don't want to use the Google cloud or the Amazon cloud, it should matter the reasons. Okay, they said, I don't want to depend to that, okay? We have to create ours, they create theirs, but they say it's too expensive for us, only us. And then they now have like more than 468 banks and with like non-banks, FIs, almost 2,000, part of that cloud. Okay, then again, it's using the power of technology to create solutions. Then this again, you're taking advantage of a market, creating solutions in a market, and open, like with the mentality of open bank, open architecture, that's the way you operate today. This thing like, I only do myself doesn't exist anymore. We have to consider like partnerships as part of your, the way of operating.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll jump that one. Then, by doing all this, it's a kind of, this was 2017, and I'm sure I follow Ping An for now good 16 years since 2002. And like, as you see, like their growths are very exponential, consider any measures. And every single year, people would say, no, next year it cannot do it, but they do it. That's the fact. Why? There is a culture, okay?
of a high performance, real high performance culture. They start with the no frills, no blame, the truth is always on the table. Nothing like touch feelings because you said it might, oh, this is good, oh, you say like, oh, you know, this one is not good at all, we have to improve. Many people say, oh, you're offending me, okay? In that environment, say, oh, what is the problem? How are we gonna solve them? We focus on the problem. Not if my work was bad or poor, no, we focus, hey, this right now doesn't satisfy, I still need to satisfy, how are we gonna solve it? How are we gonna be better? And there's relentless pursuit of doing together a much better thing than anybody's doing. It is totally customer-centric, okay? And it's always thinking about how to be 3 to 4 times better than competition. It's not about being a percentage, being a nose ahead of the competition. That was not the way PN, is not the way PN operates. By thinking like that, 3 to 4 times better than competition, they build a business growth like that. And it's been like that forever, okay? Okay, I'll say at least like, this company started when I joined in 2003 by the first time, okay? They had 15 years, it was a 15 years old company. And we started in the 80s, more or less, okay? And now it should be like a 40 years old company, more or less. That's 15 plus 3 years, my fifth one of the 16. Yes, 31 years old, 32 years old company. Okay, so that's the age of my son, more or less. Okay, and that's basically the age of this company. Okay, and it's growing, and it's gonna continue to grow. Then there is this is the characteristics of this company, okay? And it's not the only one being successful in China. If you research many of them, like you go to Alibaba, I know the other man from Alibaba, and I know the man from Tencent also. I had the pleasure to meet with those guys in my life when I was living there. You're gonna see the culture of those companies, very similar. Very similar. They are innovators, disruptors, customer-centric, okay, no-frills team, or I say high-performance teams. It's different than talking about the collaboration. Collaboration is one thing that is important, yes, but a high-performance team goes beyond collaboration. Means I'll work with you with my heart. It's a different approach, it's a different sense, okay? Like, they have thicker skins. I would say, if you don't like my thing, okay, why you don't like it? Let's solve it, let's do it. They're focused on doing things, not on touch feeling stuff. It's very important characteristics. If you look at any innovator, they're focused on what they're gonna achieve. It's like climbing a wall. If you're going to climb a wall, a vertical wall, you know, work in a team, okay, you have really to pay attention because every step could cause you to really hurt yourself. Okay, then it means like I have to really pay attention. If the person says, hey, pay attention, I pay attention. I'm not gonna be thinking, if the person says, hey, you're not doing this well, I have to pay attention because I'm not doing that well and I have to make sure I do well. Anybody saw Apollo 13? I always love that example of Apollo 13. I love that film. 72 hours, if you don't solve the problem in 72 hours, what's happened to the people there? They die. High performance team always work like that. If I don't get this done properly, people will die. Yeah, that's again high performance teams. It's a totally different approach. Okay, they have a warrior spirit. They don't have this, okay, it's a different kind of spirit. And that's the thing I believe companies are made, needs to be made, like I push for that. Sometimes some people says, he's crazy, he's obstinated, and I am, okay. My team knows, so they can vouch for that, okay. But I always say I believe in 3 P's, very simple 3 P's. Okay, first, people. The right people in the right place. With ultimate respect for everything they are and they do. We are all imperfect human beings. We have to understand that. We have to understand the differences among ourselves. Then first is people. Have the right people in the right place. Second is about persistence. You have to persist. You can never, never, never give up. And third one is patience. because lots of things will happen different than when you expect. Then that's part of the organization that's successful. And if you look at any example of any leader, okay, on that, you're gonna see they have those three P's. It's very interesting. Questions? I'm finished my conversation because I know dinner is coming and I know in between us and dinner. Okay. Questions? Yes, please. Okay, first, there is no way you're going to have a right performance team sent without celebration, recognition, and rewards. Impossible. At PM, we are fanatic for that. We would celebrate, the same way we look at daily stuff. You know why we look at daily stuff? To celebrate our goals. To celebrate, like when you score a goal or a basketball, what do? You stay quiet? Basketball. For a goal, you stay silent. What do? You yell. You say go. You say yes. You say you celebrate, right? Then first is this culture of celebration. Every quarter, we would have like in PM Direct, I have 50,000 sales agents in 7 different locations, and they were what we call digital contact centers with tremendous targets of selling and serving. Every quarter, I had to travel around the 7 months to celebrate, and it was fantastic. They organized like thousands of people celebration. Normally, it would be like that because we had a center with 16,000, centers with 3,000 people. We put like the best salespeople in there. They organized presentations. They went up with dinner and drinking. Okay, would be like that. If you're in China, you have to learn how to drink also. Okay. It's part of the culture, happens. Okay, Ganbei, you know Ganbei stuff? Okay, I had lots of experience with Ganbei. And then celebration is key. Every year, in everybody's scorecard, if you achieve your goals, you have different levels of reward. Then there's recognition and reward. Both needs to play together. And it was very well designed, covered with key KPIs. Everybody knew their KPIs in every level. They would be interconnected and would have this, routine or religion of celebrating. Very important. Thank you for the question. What's your name?
Danielle.
Sorry?
Danielle.
Thank you, Danielle. Fantastic question. Thank you. Any other question? More questions?
Okay, so I'll squeeze in a question. In order for a company to succeed,
in order for a company to succeed and grow, like you're proposing, two things we need to look at. One, the environment they're in, and the employee doing the work.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the environment is concerned, China is already, I think based on PPI, purchase power parity, is already the biggest economy in the world. Mm-hmm. And I believe the last time I checked, I think 4 of the 10 largest financial institutions is in China.
Yeah.
So how do we sustain and grow based on that environment? And also for people in Ping-in?
Yeah.
In North America, we tend to encourage, I guess we say, lower pay for the people. You end up having more profit. I tend to disagree with that. So my question is, for that company, what is the turnover rate of the people? Mm-hmm. And their compensation compared to their peers? Is that the high end, middle end, low end?
I would say, PM, we had a culture very simple, we pay for talent. Yeah. The first thing, like I would have like a very scientific approach, okay, because like lots of people that love science there, and then we look at the, okay, we should be paying for what we call key functions, key jobs, and third quartile. Third quartile means like you're above average. Okay? That would be third quartile. And we're very scientific about identifying key jobs, key thing, and paying third quartile. Okay? Then compared to the market for key positions, everybody knew if you were at Ping An, you were third quartile. Okay? Top. And what means like when you combine the total package was not like a, we're not famous for paying like fixed salary, but the variable salary if you do it, it's quite good. Okay, then high performers, they don't care about fix it. They said, I use the fix it to have my living, and I want the variable part because that's the reward. And that was the science, the behavior science behind that. Okay, talking about environment, like I work in 35 different markets, okay? People, human beings are very similar. Despite of culture or regions, and then like we have dreams, we have families, we have things that we care about. And the question is your business understanding the context of your market, your people, their dreams, their aspirations? Are you creating solutions that make sense for them? Every company that applies, like with discipline, the science of understanding people and creating solutions for them, wins in the market. If you look at the winners in Canada, the winners in US, the winners in South America, in Asia, in Europe, they have one common denominator. They understand their markets. They understand their customers. And they surround themselves with great people. That's a common denominator. I think like there's, she was there first, just controlling now, and then I'll go back to you. Because I have this view, I have to help. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the presentation. You mentioned WeChat and how successful it is in China, and it appears to me that WeChat has become a mean of a daily life. Even a lot of time you go to places, you can't even pay without a paycheck account.
Without WePay account.
Right, so it's part of WeChat, right? So I couldn't even buy anything when I was in the park last year in China because I didn't have a WePay account as a choice. Do you see that sort of be a trend in North America that we, an approach in North America, could WhatsApp even think about doing such a thing? To me, China has a really good control over its people by doing everything through WeChat.
Okay, I'll ask a simple question. Anybody saw Black Mirror? Okay, if you didn't see that series called Black Mirror yet, go and see it, okay? It is the dark side of technology. There is a dark side of technology people is scared of, okay? And there's what I call dark effects of one. Then I use the word control. Tencent would think about the word facilitating. Okay, that's the way. Like, why is working in China? Because make the people's life easier. And people just jump in because the life is easier. I don't like some of the things that they're doing and the way they're using behavior science to drive different kinds of behavior. Right now, the way they're scoring, the way people is or behave or do credit or pay credit or so forth. There's some weird stuff happening and we have to be aware of that because this is affecting our lives also. Then I would say, see Black Mirror, take your conclusion. Like, look at AI as a great stuff, but there's always Terminator films and other stuff that I pay attention also. Okay, I love Isaac Asimov, it was my literature when I was a boy, then science fiction is part of the way I look at the world, and I just pay attention to that also. Okay, there are some other aspects, yes.
Fernando, thank you very much for your presentation. It was very fascinating. It's like, I have a different kind of question, if I may. You described a company that is innovative, exponential, people are fantastic and everything. People would like really love to work in that company. So I guess my question is...
Many people didn't love like that. Okay, then.
All right, but you liked it, right?
Oh, I love it.
You love it. So my question is...
I love to work where I am right now also.
Why are you not there anymore?
It's a good question. Okay, no, it's a good question. It's a good question. Many people ask me this question. Okay, the reason was I had a family issue back in 2015. I have to go back to my country, Brazil, okay, to take care of family stuff. Okay, and I'm quite happy with my choice. It was a choice I had to make. Okay, it was a personal decision. Okay, and I'm very happy. And I consider myself always stressed. What happened to my life, I always look at the sky and say, thank you, God. And at that time, I need that solution. Okay, and the solution happened. And today, if you ask where I am right now in Canada, okay, it's also part of that journey. Then we always gonna make our personal choices. And the reason that I left, I have a personal issue that I have to solve, family issue in Brazil that I have to go back to my country. And then like I start, like somebody says, hey, I have a job for you that you need, like CEO, oh, you sure you're gonna leave PM? But the people say, you love PM, CEO of PM, blah, 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 you're gonna leave? I have to leave. There are more important things in my life than only my job. That was the reason. And Chris's story about that was like this. When I talked with Peter, I would interview, said, Fernando, could you try to find if we have a, could buy a business in Brazil? It was true. He sent me to buy a business in Brazil. I felt like quite honored for that opportunity. I went there, but like I'm a very objective guy. I look at the return on investment of investing in Brazil against continuing to invest with what we're doing in China. I said, hey, look, the returns are not there. The risk is too high. You should keep the money here. I have a solution for myself. Then I could try to take, but it's not in my ethics. I cannot do that. Question, hey, Maria.
I have a question about the, I'm curious to know about the initiatives that comes up on, in the Saturday branches. So at the rate of three investments or three initiatives being invested in every Saturday, I think there are many.
Yeah, every Saturday. In a Saturday, every 2 months, they had this meeting with the CEOs. Yes.
Okay. I'm curious to know, because part of the innovation culture is to win or fail fast.
Yep.
But how do they determine, what are the criteria for determining whether initiative is a go or no go?
Everybody needs to have a one-page business case. Then you not go just with an idea, you go with a one-page business case. And it's presented by CEO, then your one-page business case needs to be a real one-page business case. And explain to the chairman, then better be good. Okay. Then you have 22 good presentations there. Okay. But also we are not competing ourselves for that. I mean, just, I hope I do not win, because if I win, then I have to, it's gonna be more work, and then I'm gonna be in the scrutiny later on. Okay, but some of the ideas, like good doctor was one. Okay, good doctor was one. The modern insurance ecosystem that would integrate, okay, was the idea was, okay, hey, it's not about selling modern insurance to compete, it's about thinking about the car owner ecosystem. And the idea that the PNC comes, okay, a car owner ecosystem, they buy a car, they use the car, they have to have insurance for the car, but they also, they put gas, they have to clean the car. How we create an ecosystem where the guy with an app can have access to a set of, a network of services around the ecosystem. And just two examples of things that's being done there. Okay. Okay, timing, who's controlling time? I'm not the one controlling time. How are we in time? One more question and done? One more question then we're done?
Yeah, I could follow up on the question that I asked originally.
Okay, please.
Yeah, I'm looking at growth ceiling based on the ceiling of growth, because once a company gets a certain size, it becomes more and more difficult to grow. That's why I'm looking at you see slow growing, maybe becoming even impossible in China when the financial institution becomes so big. And the other question I ask is turnover rate in the company. Yeah, like hang on. How many years they say, because in North America we seem to encourage people to keep on moving along. So I wonder whether culture in there is okay, keep on moving, or stay here for life.
No, it's not to stay here for life, it was like that. Okay, I remember like when I joined 2003 was to stay here for life. And then we implement really like a meritocratic process, a high performance process. And if you are in senior positions like I was, okay, do not perform, you're out. And it's very clear. You're not performing, sorry. Then that was part of the culture. If growth has a limit, okay, I'll normally say yes, if you believe there is a limit, you're gonna find a limit. It's true, it's mental. Okay? Did you ever pay attention to everything that you imagine in your life, that you really imagine and believe in your life, you did it? You first imagine, but then you believe it. And then you persisted. Guess what? You did it. I can tell you, like, you can go to your notebooks or in your mind. Let's look at my life story. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I thought about this, and then I persisted. I believe it. I dream it. I go there. Guess what? You did it. You're going to have many examples in your life. This applies to, like, what is a company? It's a collective of minds. The question is, like, how I align those minds to have one purpose. That's very tough to do. Thank you, everybody. Okay, I truly appreciate it. It was an honor to be here. Okay, Tina and Carla.